Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, October the 14th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network with our simulcast partners in Douglas, where folks are listening to us on 930 AM, KAPR, and in Gila County and Globe, Eastern Arizonans listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where all of our shows are archived for 24/7 listening. Also, thanks to our partnership with the online news service TucsonSentinel.com. Our programs are also available at TucsonSentinel.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we begin with our Friday Focus interview featuring a newsmaker interview, and then at the bottom of the hour, it's the Friday Reporters Roundtable, and we'll close out with Weekend Watch. Today's Friday Focus interview is with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Joining me in our conversation with Mr. Huckleberry is Mark Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com, and we invite you to join in the conversation. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line, or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can also submit questions at buckmastershow.com and on the Buckmaster Show Facebook. I want to remind you the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Now we welcome Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, good to see you. We have you on a day where there's a lot of news.
Good to see you, Bill. Yeah, we always have lots of news.
Yeah, a lot of news. And we want to begin with Rosemont. The new draft environmental impact statement was released late Wednesday. The report had some real questions about, in fact, saying that Rosemont Mine could result in violations of groundwater and air quality rules, but the Forest Service continues to say the project should be approved. Now, looking through that report, does this in some ways validate what Pima County has been saying, at least about air quality issues?
Yes. If you look at all of our concerns, air quality as well as groundwater quality and groundwater pollution and exploitation of groundwater as a water source, every one of our concerns have been basically confirmed. And what we're concerned about most is really the lack of mitigation of any of these issues that are contained in the Rosemont's mine of plant operation. So I think we're concerned. The release of the EIS starts a 90-day process for public comment. Obviously, county is a cooperating agency, which gives us obviously the ability to comment and provide our technical expertise in the areas that are most concerning to the county, from the areas of public health, both air quality as well as water quality. And I think there are issues of concern with regard to the adverse impacts to our transportation system, as well as just the loss of the natural resources in the Santa Rita Mountains, and the issue of cultural losses, the cultural history losses associated with the Otham Nation.
Before I throw it over to Mark Evans, just a quick follow-up. On the same or on the other side of the equation, you have the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce saying that the report in many ways validates what they've been saying, that the mine will proceed and this is what we need for jobs in this community.
Well, what happens in that discussion is that you really the Forest Service has indicated that because of the 1872 Mining Act, they have no alternative other than ultimately to approve. Everyone talks about the benefits of Rosemont to the community, jobs, and I think we agree. This community needs jobs, and we want jobs. What people don't talk about on Rosemont and all of their public relations campaigns, they never talk about the cost. They never talk about the risk. In most economic decisions, there's benefits and there's cost. And you weigh the benefits, when in this case the jobs, against the cost. No one's done any of that classical weighing of benefits versus cost in this action.
The Tucson metropolitan area, though, is ringed by mines. The people in Green Valley all live at the base of these huge mine tailings. Now, there's a pretty large mine down there. You've also got a mine out in the Silverbell Mountains west of Marana. And then you've got a huge mine to the other, it's abandoned now, to the other side of the Catalinas in the former Magma Copper mine.
San Manuel area?
The San Manuel area, yeah. So how is this mine suddenly worse than those mines? Or is this some sort of tipping point, do you think?
Well, it's in an area that's probably sensitive or more sensitive than the other mine locations. This mine is also being developed in an era when the other mines may have been developed 50 or 100 years ago, for example, the mine in Ajo, Arizona. And we've been led to believe that this is one of these new modern mines that's environmentally sensitive and that it's sustainable. It looks like a classic open-pit mine to us. The mitigation that could be invoked, which is pit backfilling and other methods of mitigation, are really not identified as a strategy to reduce the long-term impact of this mine on, let's say, the landscape and the community. In California, California has a law that says in metal mining, they backfill the pit. Well, we've suggested backfilling the pit, and it was dismissed as not economical. So I just think there's all this claim about being a modern, environmentally friendly, sustainable mine, but it sure looks like the mines of the 1900s being superimposed in an area that's relatively sensitive from the perspective of natural resources as well as cultural heritage.
The mine has to have a lot of governmental approvals before it can even go forward. The Forest Service is just one of them, but I think it's one of the larger ones that it has to have. They also had to have the approval from the county, and the county recently denied its air quality permit for the mine. Can you explain that denial a little bit more? In my reading, and I may have read it wrong, it didn't sound to me like the county came out and flat out said, your plan will violate our air quality standards, you're denied. It said, seemed to me, it said more like, well, there's not enough information here, so because of that, we're going to deny it.
And that's correct, Mark. What they submitted was not sufficient for us to make a judgment that it would meet the standards and the requirements of the county and our air quality district. And so what we said is this is kind of the conundrum that Rosemont has put everybody in. They send lawyers to us to tell us we have to approve the plan in 30 days, which violates our own code. And then at the same time, they say, well, we're part of the state implementation plan. Well, if they're part of the federal state implementation plan, they have to do a lot more studies in order to get a permit from us. And so, you know, they have not submitted the studies in order to obtain the permit. So it's kind of that simple. They put themselves in a box that basically required us to deny the permit, or required our air quality district official to deny the permit until they submit the information that demonstrates they can meet the state implementation plan.
And it doesn't look like they're going to do that, because now instead of doing that, they're suing you, right?
Yes. Now a federal judge will decide whether or not they should submit more information and meet the requirements of the state implementation plan, or the county should basically turn around and approve their permit application as they submitted it.
It's 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show. Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator. 790-2040, 790-2040. Perhaps you would like to weigh in on this Rosemont decision. And if that's the case, please give us a call, 790-2040. The knock on Mr. Huckleberry and the board from the chamber and some of the business community is that this county is not business friendly. What do you say to these people?
Well, I think that's completely wrong. This county is very business friendly. We're the county that's taking the lead in trying to protect our major employers, such as Raytheon and Davis-Monthan. We are probably, I would say, we've revised a lot of our processes and development services to be business friendly, and we're going to continue to do that. So we understand fully the need to basically help business create jobs, sustain jobs, and we're going to do everything we can to do that. I think our issue here is, again, the classic cost-benefit analysis of Rosemont. We know the benefits and we like those benefits, but at what cost? I think the other thing that's important in this particular case, we're not really the approval agency for Rosemont. That's the federal government. It's the Forest Service. It's the United States Army Corps of Engineers. We have a very small role to play, and that is really limited to the air quality permit, which if in fact they submit the proper studies and analysis, more than likely they can meet those requirements.
And along those lines, there's Tony Davis in his story about this, I think today, listed all the approvals that they still have to get. So they need not only this Forest Service approval, but they need one from the Corps of Engineers for the 404 permit because they're going to be bridging washes and waterways. They need approvals from the Fish and Wildlife Service, from BLM, from state ADEQ. In your estimation, which of those approvals do you think is the highest hurdle for Rosemont?
Probably the highest hurdle is the same highest hurdle that we have on our own projects, and that's a Section 404 Clean Water Act permit from the Corps of Engineers.
And in regard to the Fish and Wildlife Service, does Rosemont not get the benefit of the county Section 10 permit, the get-out-of-jail-free card?
Well, they probably could if they wanted to be included in that process, and we're going forward with that Section 10 permit now. And so we allow people to opt in and receive the benefit of that, so industry can receive the benefit of that Section 10 permit, and Rosemont would not be excluded.
12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. We are going to hear from the Buckmaster Show fine lineup of sponsors. We will come back with Chuck Huckleberry. Mark Evans is with us from TucsonCitizen.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, it's 790-2040. Give us a call during the break. We'll get you on the air right after the break.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Magnet's supposed to be reclaimed.
12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator, on the Friday Focus interview. Mark Evans is here from TucsonCitizen.com. If you would like to ask Mr. Huckleberry a question, 790-2040. We've been talking about the Rosemont Mine, the draft environmental impact statement. There are some concerns in the astronomy community, Mr. Huckleberry. Tucson considers itself the astronomy capital of North America. There are concerns within the astronomy community that the mine would hamper some of the viewing of the astronomers.
Yes, we've actually heard that the International Dark Sky Alliance, which is a group that really talks about preserving the viewing capacity of these international astronomy locations, which basically Mount Hopkins is one of, Kitt Peak is one of, the more light you have, the worse interference they have, and it diminishes their research capacity, and that's always been a concern. That's why we have codes in the county on our land use that prohibit fugitive light and limit the number of lumens per acre, and it's all basically designed to protect and preserve the astronomy industry in Tucson and Pima County and the number of jobs that it produces.
So that goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of this interview about that perhaps the community needs to look a little harder at what you call a job trade-off situation.
Yeah, it doesn't do us any good to get 400 mining jobs and then lose 500 astronomy jobs. I mean, that's a game that you can't win. And so we need to basically take a more holistic view of job production, job benefits, sustainable jobs, how long they're going to be here. Now, what are the resource consumption of those jobs? We need to basically pick the best that have the least impact and basically produce the highest income.
Change tax a little bit. You'd mentioned earlier about being job friendly and the like. A few months ago, you proposed a roads bond that would be geared towards the major employers towards the south, the airport authority, Raytheon, and the like, and try to improve those areas for economic development, including industrial economic development that would bring in high-paying jobs, not more call centers and the like. What's the status of that? Do you hold out hope for a bond election anytime soon?
I do hold out hope. I think we've been talking, and we just had some recent meetings with some business industry representatives, and I think building a lot of momentum to actually get something done and to make these improvements, because we've looked at the expansion of these industries in the next 10 years, and it looks like aerospace is going to take off. And so we need to be in a position to attract high-paying aerospace jobs into this community. In what better location to do it in the proximity of Raytheon?
One of the knocks on the airport has been that you can't get there from anywhere. It's you got to change planes. And the airport authority has been trying to do some things to create more direct flights into Tucson and the like. But if the airport's to get bigger, if we were to have this industrial development and get bigger, we would need a bigger airport. Is there room to expand down there with the
Lots of room. The airport, and what's good about this is we're integrated into the long-range planning of Tucson International Airport and the Tucson Airport Authority. They're updating their master plan right now for a second or third runway. The third runway location, we're actually planning the Alvernon extension around it. So what we're able to do in these series of road bond improvements is fix the perimeter and boundary of the international airport, allow at least one more runway, maybe two, and an entire additional terminal. So instead of having just one terminal in Tucson, we'll probably end up having two or more. And so I think the airport is poised to take off as well. And so I think we're on the verge, if we just follow through and help ourselves, to actually building a job base around that airport that is substantially greater than it is today and really focused on high-tech employment, both in the defense industry as well as aerospace industry.
This would be a $200 million package to create transportation corridors to help develop five new employment hubs.
Yes, what we really are looking at is we have two concepts when it comes to job preservation in county policy. We want to protect what we have, and that means let's help Raytheon expand, let's keep the jobs in Davis-Monthan, any other major employer. We want to help them keep their jobs and expand. The second concept here is to use the intellectual capacity of the University of Arizona to create new high-tech jobs. The facilities at Ventana, the issue with Roche, Sanofi, they came out of startups out of the University of Arizona research system. So we need to basically take advantage of this world-class research institution we have in our backyard.
And chances of anything else being on a bond election soon, considering the continued doldrums in the housing market?
Pretty dim. My guess is that, you know, we've been thinking about a bond issue since 2007, and we're now saying the very earliest would be 12, and we're real nervous about 12 unless it's directly linked to economic development and jobs. The earliest after that is going to be 2013. We're concerned that the electorate needs to feel comfortable that right decisions are being made with regard to our future capital investments, and it's those capital investments of what the community wants and needs. And if it helps foster economic stability and economic recovery, they may be in the mood for a 2012 election, but it's too early to tell right now.
Go ahead.
Is there anything that the county can be doing to help the housing market in Tucson? That the thinking of the economists is that it's there's kind of this circular argument going along. Some people are saying you're not going to see a rebound in the housing market until you see a rebound in jobs. So there needs to be some sort of job stimulus, and then the housing market will take care of itself. And others are saying we need to do something to get people out from under all these underwater loans, stop the foreclosure bleeding, and then that will take care of the jobs situation.
We have an entire arm of our organization and economic development aimed at housing and aimed at housing stabilization, foreclosure prevention, getting housing counseling to people, getting nonprofit housing groups in to try and keep people in their homes, to get them comfortable that they're okay. And so we're concerned that we stabilize the housing market, but at the same time we have another group called the One-Stop Shop, where we're always receiving folks who are coming from either unemployment or other areas and getting them jobs, getting them retrained, getting them higher wages so that we can basically stop this cycle that we're in.
Getting back to Rosemont, what is now the timetable for the court action involving the Pima County air quality permit?
Well, it's all going to take place in probably the next 2 months. We know that Rosemont has filed for an appeal before Air Quality Hearing Board. That looks like it's going to be scheduled for, say, early November. It looks like some of the federal court proceedings will take place in later November. So a lot of this is going to take place in the next 30 to 60 days.
Recent announcement about Major League Soccer coming to town and developing a relationship with the county and the metropolitan area, and maybe being a replacement for the loss that the community experienced with Major League Baseball spring training left to go to Phoenix. Is this going to be an answer for Keno Stadium? You know, Keno needs to is right now is it's a net loss, and are you going to be able to break even with this new deal?
Well, with Major League Soccer, this is really an experiment, and we're trying to see just how solid fan attraction base can be in Tucson for Major League Soccer. It's structured to break even right now. If it breaks even, we're going to be happy, because it's really looking at soccer as a future venue and a future location for Major League Soccer training at Keno. We've had the three Mexican League teams there this last weekend, a concert there this last week, and so things are happening out there. But its long-term future of professional sports is still up in the air.
Just going to wrap it up with Chuck Huckleberry, our Friday Focus interview. Mr. Huckleberry, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at Tucson Meet Yourself.
Will do. Thank you, Bill.
Bring your appetite.
I'm going to go down there and get lunch today, so appreciate it.
Chuck Huckleberry with us on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We've got the Friday Reporters Roundtable coming up next.
News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A federal appeals court is blocking part of Alabama's new immigration law from taking effect. It's a provision that requires schools to check the immigration status of students. Republican presidential contender Rick Perry is unveiling what he calls a pro-American, pro-jobs energy policy. He unveiled the policy today in a speech near Pittsburgh. Prosecutors in Southern California say they'll seek the death penalty for the man accused of shooting up a salon on Wednesday, killing 8 people. Updating Wall Street, heading into the final 30 minutes of today's trading. The Dow is up about 134 points. The blue chips now at 11,613. The NASDAQ trading 41 points higher, and the S&P is up 18 points. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia, and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Every Friday about this time, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable, featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com, and Dan Scheer is now with us in studio from Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. We welcome you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show, live line 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Let's welcome now Dan Scheer. Dan, what did you think of the draft environmental impact statement on Rosemont? You knew it was coming, you just didn't know the exact date.
Right. I don't think that there were really many surprises in there. When you put a mine in the ground, it's going to affect air, it's going to affect groundwater, light pollution, views, tourism, dust, everything is going to be impacted. The report is very interesting, but I don't think there were any real surprises in it. And as Mark had pointed out earlier, there's still a lot of hurdles to get past, but it would certainly look like Rosemont has good reason to be happy right now.
The thing that I thought was odd, and I guess I haven't read a whole lot of federal government EISs before, was them coming up with their own plan. It seemed to me that they needed to be evaluating the company's plan, and if they didn't like the company's plan, offering suggestions. But instead, they've come up with their own alternative plan, which I thought was rather interesting, and it there's trade-offs in it. My reading was that it had... they seemed to be making a trade-off on air quality in order to do a little bit better on watershed protection and habitat protection, but that to me seems like a Hobson's choice.
I wonder if what they were also doing is suggesting what they would like to hear from people over the next 90 days as we go into this public comment period, and that is don't trash Rosemont, don't trash the project, come up with better ideas. And I wonder if they were hinting at the fact that, hey, it's going to happen, it looks like it's going to happen, so you better get it to look as good as it can at this point. And I know that's kind of a defeatist attitude, and a lot of people don't like that, but it is something that needs to be considered as we enter into the next 3 months.
Well, in terms of their approval is going to happen. I mean, they pretty much telegraphed in the report, oh, we got no choice, so let's come up with the best plan that we have to approve.
Because of the 1872 mining law?
Right, yeah.
Largely.
Back when Ulysses S. Grant was president.
Right, largely.
But Section 404, that's the Corps of Army Engineers, the water permit. Mr. Huckleberry, who was just with us, seems to feel that's a key.
There's no doubt that that's a key, and we were discussing actually before we went on the air that you can't do much around here without having to deal with that type of stuff, and it's stopped projects before, and it is key, but it's also surmountable. And the real question is all of this going to end up in court, and what purpose will be served if it does?
I think there's no question it's going to court. Rosemont's already demonstrated its willingness that any time that it didn't get what it wanted, that it's going to go to court and let a judge decide. And, you're dealing with the Ninth Circuit, so who knows whether that's going to be a successful plan for them.
Talk a little bit about Rio Nuevo, and I know, Dan, this is not one of your subjects, but I do want to bring Mark in on this because we had Councilman Steve Kasachek on the Buckmaster Show yesterday, and he's very concerned, and he hopes that this is not, that the downtown effort is not being sabotaged by one or two individuals on that Rio Nuevo board. But I'm telling you, right now, it looks like they are at an impasse.
The idea behind the law that that extracted the control of Rio Nuevo from the city, expanded the board, and had all the new board members appointed by the legislature and the governor, was that it was supposed to put, you know, adults in charge and get Rio Nuevo back on track and get its books balanced and figure out what it has, what it doesn't have, and move forward. And it seems like all it did was just add another ring to the circus. There doesn't seem to be any willingness on the Rio Nuevo board to cooperate in any way with the city to make this program work. And, you know, if it comes down to for me, believing Steve Kozacek versus believing what's happening on the Rio Nuevo board, you know, I'm going to put my weight behind Steve. His letter that he wrote was quite reasonable, all laying out all the attempts that the city has tried to work with Rio Nuevo, only to get slapped in the face with a claim that we want all your land on the west side or $47 million. And the city rightly responded by saying, well, that's what you're going to do. We're going to stop negotiating with you. And the Rio Nuevo board seems to, in their statement they released yesterday, seem to have been nonplussed by that. Well, you know, just almost offended that because the Rio Nuevo threatened to sue them, that the city would take that badly. You know, so clearly adults have not been placed back in charge, which is the intent of the legislature. It's just made it worse.
And one more word on this before we go over to Dan Scheer. I am just amazed that the city council and the Rio Nuevo board have not sat down together in one room to talk about all of this with all this money at stake.
And they were attempting that. They were trying to come up with a plan of moderation or mediation where they would get together, kind of representatives from the board, representatives from the city, get together and come up with a plan that could be presented to both bodies to get through this. And that got blown up out of all this as well. The only way I see this getting resolved is through further legislation that is detrimental to the city or a lawsuit.
Does anybody seem happy with the redistricting commission, what they're doing? I'll begin with Dan Scheer on that one.
Not in Green Valley and Sahuarita, I can tell you that. We weren't really surprised because we kind of had pretty much knew it was coming down the pike, but they have split Green Valley and Sahuarita into two state legislative districts, and that really just flies in the face of community of interest, which is one of the criteria that they're supposed to use. Now, Sahuarita does have a lot of ties to Tucson. A lot of people work there, recreate there, that type of stuff. But you have to look at the I-19 corridor, and to split up Sahuarita and Green Valley, which border each other, share school districts, share zip codes, share commerce, share so huge issues, it makes absolutely no sense. And it's a real interesting bill because the Democrats and the Republicans are really banded together on this one to fight it. And it's interesting whenever those two end up on the same side.
The law that was created to create the redistricting commission, the independent redistricting commission, essentially set everybody up who'd be involved in it from the future to fail because there is two diametrically opposed issues. One is political competitiveness and the other one is communities of interest. Because we segregate ourselves as a society, we tend to have the poor grouped in one area, we tend to have minorities grouped in one area, we tend to have the affluent grouped in one area, and political affiliation tends to go with those different groups. It is almost impossible to divide them up competitively, politically, without dividing up communities of interest. Moreover, it's impossible to try to protect communities of interest without creating a system of that is politically tilted to one side or the other. And so, you know, the Republicans are really screaming about this, but, you know, I don't really see how they have been harmed all that drastically by the commission. With putting the issue of communities of interest aside, you've got a 2-to-1 advantage in non-competitive districts for Republicans to Democrats in the congressional races. You've got 4 safe Republican, 2 safe Democrat, and 3 competitive. And then the legislative side, you've got 15 safe Republican and 9 safe Democrat. So it is still, even though Republicans have the barest of percentage increase in voter registration over Democrats and independents, they're getting an almost 2-to-1 advantage in both maps. So to me, it's crocodile tears. It's simply an effort to try and keep the state as Republican and one party as possible.
And I would agree that there's definitely some issues with the IRC. This is only the second time we've used it. We need to look at it real hard and think, boy, do we want to continue this way?
Well, go ahead, Mark.
Well, there's a proposal now out that got floated in the last few months about increasing the size of the commission, that the idea of having two Democrats, two Republicans, and one independent gave too much power to that single independent. Now they're talking about expanding it into 9 members, where you would have 3-3-3. So there would be 3 independents, and you would have to have a lot more consensus in order to get anything done. And I think that's an interesting solution, but that's for the people in the Bill Buckmaster Show to debate in 2020.
Let's talk a little bit about housing. 2020 seems like a long time away. Housing in your area, Green Valley and Sahorita, is it as bad as it has been here in the Tucson metro area? Dan Scheer,
no,
Green Valley News.
No, it's not in Green Valley, because it's an odd place. It's a retirement area. Most people still are paying cash for their homes. Sahorita is real interesting, though. It's a much different story. About half the town is made up by Rancho Sahorita, which is built by Bob Sharp, the developer down there. Beautiful community, but hit hard by foreclosures. And there are still a lot of great deals down in Rancho Sahorita. The bigger story, though, is that Sahorita continues to be a very desirable town, because the council has very wisely been stepping through this whole economic downturn and has floated some unique proposals. Bob Sharp has actually jumped in and helped with some of them that really could help the town continue to move forward, even though Tucson is pretty much dead in its tracks.
There's 7,000 foreclosures in Pima County last month. I mean, the foreclosure bleeding continues to go on, and it's been going on in Arizona now for more than 3 years, going on to 4 years now, where we just can't get out from under. You know, at first it was the subprime loans, in which the people who took bad loans that were small payments up front that suddenly ballooned, thinking that the increase in property values would bail them out later and they could refinance and get a smaller interest rate later on. And that didn't work out when the bubble popped. Mm-hmm. And so you had all those foreclosures, and then you had the hit that the economy took, and now you got people who aren't foreclosing because they took out a bad loan. They're foreclosing because they've lost their job or they've lost their income. They got another job, but it doesn't pay as much. And then you've got the other people in the county who have lost all this housing value. And you know, housing mortgage interest rates are the lowest they've almost ever been. They're down below 4% now.
Yeah, they are.
But the majority of homeowners can't refinance to take advantage of that because they're underwater in the values of their homes. And if the federal government would at least just do something to change the rules so that people could refinance based on the current value of their house, that would be a huge stimulus to the economy, because the reductions in the mortgage payments would be in the order of hundreds to thousands of dollars per month per house.
There's been a huge increase in domestic violence because of the economy, huh, Dan Scheer?
Yeah, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we just ran a big package in the paper, and we looked at the report figures for Pima County and the Sahorita Police Department, and found that there is really a sharp increase in domestic violence-related reports since the economic downturn, so that'd be 2009, 2010, and this year. And it's real. It's a real marked increase. In Sahorita, a little bit of that is because the population has grown, but we're talking double in some instances, and officials are telling us very gingerly, but yeah, definitely money issues are part of the increase, or part of the reason the numbers have gone up.
I think we've got Richard ready on the Buckmaster Show live line. Gentlemen, if you would just slip your headsets there on so we can listen to Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're with Dan Scheer of Green Valley and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. Richard, are you with us? Well, Richard's no longer with us, but I do want to talk a little bit about your flight next week. Dan, you're heading off to D.C. with some World War II vets.
Right. I'm going with Honor Flight, which is a national organization that the goal is to take all World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. to see the World War II Memorial, which opened in 2004. And we have a lot of World War II vets down in the Green Valley area and also Tucson. We're leaving on a flight Wednesday. It's you fly Wednesday, you visit on Thursday, and come home on Fridays. About 50 of us total go. The veterans go for free. The guardians, which I am one, pay $850, and you're assigned a couple of people. We've sent a reporter on this before. Tremendous program, but the time is short. We're losing about 1,000 World War II veterans each day. Mm. That's each day. And to get them out there to see this is an incredible experience for them, Bill, and it's something that we have completely thrown ourselves behind because it's worth it.
Mark Evans, I think it was a good move by the athletic director, Greg Byrne, to pull the plug on Mr. Stoops.
Yeah, 8 years for a football coach, college football coach, in a major conference should be plenty of time to restore that team to its winning ways and to have a good winning record and be playing in bowl games, but also be competing for the conference title. And Stoops improved the program, but just couldn't get it over the hump. And then the last 11 games, have been a total disaster. Just blowouts, the team not playing well at all. And so most people expected Stoops to get fired. The surprise was that Greg Byrne decided to do it in the middle of the season. That was unusual. But, you know, after the way the team's been playing, I think Byrne wanted to get the jump on whoever else might be out there that could come in to help rebuild the program. And, you know, nobody else out there is looking for a college coach right now, so that gives Arizona the advantage.
Okay, Dan and Mark, thank you very much. Both of you have a great weekend. That's going to do it for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We'll take a break right here. We'll be back with Weekend Watch. Jimmy Bogle will be sitting in for Matt Russell on the Weekend Watch.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson. Volunteers working together.
the RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
/12:54 on the Buckmaster Show, and that music always signals the weekend has begun. The Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt is on a 2-week eating vacation, and we have Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly filling in for Matt. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing? Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing? Oh, we got a little bit of a phone issue here with Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell normally with us on Weekend Watch, but for those who say there is nothing going on in Tucson, this is one of those weekends where there is more than enough to be happening for you, including, of course, the Tucson Meet Yourself, which is one of Tucson's signature events. Jimmy Bogle, how you doing? Jimmy, can you hear me? Jimmy, are you there? No, we are having a little bit of an issue on the phone line with Jimmy Bogle. But, of course, Tucson Meet Yourself is the big event, and that is really underway right now in Presidio Park. I think it began at noon and will be going through Sunday. So that's a chance for everybody to really get down there and have a good time at Tucson Meet Yourself. Want to also tell you about something called Studio Connections. Studio Connection Chicago at Zuzi Theater. You can find out more about that at studioconnections.net. Also, Pride in the Desert at the Kino Memorial. Just some of the activities going on this weekend and the Weekend Watch. So lots to do. Want to tell you about also that the Buckmaster Show will be the exclusive radio outlet 1 week from today. We will have all three of the Tucson mayoral candidates with us in studio, and we'll spend the whole hour with them. That will be their only appearance together, the three of them, on Tucson Radio. That will be coming up on the Buckmaster Show 1 week from today. And we want to tell you also that coming up on the Buckmaster Show, we want to tell you that we want to plug our website. It's always a good place to go. We have archives of all the programs at buckmastershow.com. That's the place for archiving all of our programs. We have live streaming of the show as well at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, we also are on our 2 simulcast partners. We got Jimmy Bogle with us. Jimmy, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, Jimmy, Tucson Meet Yourself going on.
Yeah, you had the lovely Mia Hansen on the show earlier this week, and it's happening right now. You can finish listening to the show and rush on out there. And there's all sorts of great stuff. One thing we wrote about actually in this week's issue of the Weekly is they're actually having a lot of healthy eating this time. You know, of
That's
course,
good.
Indian fry bread is delicious, but it's not exactly the best thing for you. But they're actually trying to have health-conscious options as well, and in addition to all sorts of just wonderful, great arts and crafts. So,
what's the Studio Connection Chicago? I was just mentioning that.
Oh, well, it's actually this Studio Connections, if you're not familiar with it, it's actually a nonprofit organization, and they have all sorts of great classes and everything like that. And they do semi-professional quality theater shows. And, you know, Chicago's not an easy show to mount, Bill. It's got a lot of choreography and everything like that, and they decided to tackle it, and our reviewer, Sherilyn Forster, said they did a fantastic job. Obviously, since a lot of kids are involved, it's a little sanitized. You know, it isn't the, a lot of the seamier stuff that's in the big Broadway show of Chicago isn't there. But it's apparently just a fantastic production and a lot of energy from the kids, and they do a really fantastic job of it.
Where is that Zuzi Theater?
Zuzi Theater is actually in the historic Y at 5th and University.
Okay. Shortened edition of Weekend Watch, Pride in the Desert at the Kino Memorial?
Yeah, Pride in the Desert. It's been at Reed Park for the last probably at least a decade or so, and they moved it down to the former TEP this weekend, and they're going to have all sorts of entertainment and booths, and the Tucson LGBT community is going to be celebrating.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm sorry we are out of time. We had a little bit of a phone issue there, but thank you for weighing in. Jimmy Bogle from the Tucson Weekly. Have a great weekend, Jimmy.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Jimmy Bogle from Tucson Weekly, the Friday Roundtable on the Friday Focus and Weekend Watch, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. A true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. The Buckmaster Show also brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications. On behalf of our producer, Rosemary Brandt, and myself, hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you here live, noon to 1, on The Buckmaster Show on KVOI on Monday. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.